morning. Welcome to Trinity Hoyle. We're glad you're here to worship with us today.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to worship on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, and welcome to all of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. This is Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are still rejoicing, even though you look up here and things are looking a lot different this week than they looked last week. All the Christmas decorations are gone, and yet the joy is not gone from this place, right? As we continue to gather in the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we are celebrating the baptism of our Lord, which means that we are looking at how baptism has made us God's people. What could be more joyful than that? So that will be our focus and our theme for the worship service today. We will be using Divine Service Setting 1 for our liturgy, and it's all printed for you there in the bulletin. I'll invite you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our service continues now with the words of the intro. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. I will tell of the decree. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage.
And the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron.
And dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear.
And rejoice with trembling.
For his wrath is quickly kindled. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold my servant whom I uphold. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Baptism of Our Lord Sunday is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak responsively the words of the gradual. Praise the Lord, all nations.
Exalt him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning we confess the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. The sermon hymn today is "To Jordan's River Came Our Lord."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Gospel reading, which is from the very beginning of Mark's Gospel here in chapter 1. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. When he comes out, it's revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Father booming out of the clouds that this is, of course, the Son of God. And I think that there's a great parallel between Jesus' baptism and ours, that we can rejoice today that because we are baptized, we are considered to also be children of God in whom he is well pleased. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to begin the sermon this morning by telling you all about Peregrine Church, which I know sounds like some crazy house of worship that you've never heard of before, maybe for birds, for peregrine falcons or something like that, but actually, Peregrine Church is not a church. In fact, it's not even a place, but Peregrine Church is the name of a person. He's an artist. And you've probably never heard of him before. I never heard of him up until last week. But his artwork appeared in an unrelated internet search that I was doing the other day. And full disclosure, I am not an artsy kind of person. Art does not normally catch my eye, okay? Like, I would not be able to tell you the difference between good art and bad art. If you took me with you to an art museum, I would have absolutely no idea what I'm looking at, and I'd probably just stand there confused the whole time. But this particular artwork caught my attention mostly because of the method that Peregrine Church uses to make his art. He calls it rain works. And the concept behind this is that his artwork cannot be seen unless it's raining or unless it gets wet in some other way. So Peregrine Church is from Seattle, Washington. Seattle's known for a few different things, like being the headquarters of Starbucks coffee. But one of the things that Seattle is famous for is rain. If you've ever visited up there, it was probably raining while you were there because it rains about 155 days out of the year on average in Seattle. So Peregrine Church wanted to come up with a way to sort of make something that would be worth looking forward to on all of these many rainy days in Seattle. So he wanted a type of artwork that could only be visible when it rains. And he came up with this concept of using a particular chemical he had specially made so that it's completely invisible on the concrete, on the sidewalks, all around the city of Seattle. And so what happens is when it rains, this chemical is a hydrophobic chemical, so that it repels the water, right? And so the contrast between the wet concrete and the dry concrete makes these amazing works of art just magically appear whenever it rains. And again, like I said, I mean, I can't tell you if an art critic would be really impressed by this or if everybody would just think that it's just a simple novelty and just kind of dumb. But for me, I just really love the concept, right? Taking a gloomy, rainy day, which would normally kind of put you down in the dumps, but instead being surprised by this magical piece of artwork that just appears when the water hits it. Right? And brightening up your day, making your gloomy day a little less gloomy because of what's revealed in the water. And then I got to thinking about the theme for our worship service today, which of course is holy baptism. And specifically today we're talking about the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. And this is something that we always bring to our attention at this time of the year, the first Sunday after Epiphany. And this is something that I think really fits in well with the theme of Epiphany. Epiphany means revealing. And the whole Epiphany season is about revealing Jesus as the divine Son of God in the flesh, right? So this idea of water revealing what previously was hidden. And then you look at this passage And where is Jesus being revealed to us? In the water, right? Right here in the Jordan River, Jesus is about to begin his earthly public ministry, and suddenly what wasn't really seen very well by many, many people for the first 30 years or so of Jesus' life, all of a sudden it's there on full display for everybody around to see. And not just to see, but to even hear. They got to hear the voice of God the Father coming out of the heavens as the heavens are being torn open. It's really an amazing thing. Now, up until that point, as far as we know, there were only a few really small glimpses of Jesus' divinity, and only a small handful of people even got to see them. Right? Certainly, we know, we talked about the last couple weeks about those who knew about the interesting, unique circumstances of Jesus' birth. I mean, obviously, Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah. You'd have some shepherds and some wise men and things like that. And then you have the folks that Jesus encountered in the scriptures later on. You have Simeon and Anna in the temple who met him when he was still just a baby. And you have, of course, the Pharisees that got to meet Jesus when he was 12 years old. But for the most part, the general public wouldn't really have known what it was that made Jesus special or made Jesus different from other people. I mean, you can imagine, you can speculate that Jesus' sinless nature probably made him stand out among his peers, right? You can imagine some of the interesting conversations that would have sparked all throughout Jesus' youngest days. But Jesus' true identity as the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, Yahweh, the great I Am. I mean, this was something that wasn't possible to be seen by the average person, right? This is something that no human being could actually see or know unless God himself reveals it to us. And so that's essentially what God did right here in this passage, using sort of like a rain work of his own, right? Revealing this in Jesus in the water. And this is so significant that this is how Mark decides to begin the story of Jesus' gospel, right? Because in Mark's gospel, there's no Christmas story. There's no mention of Bethlehem or a virgin birth or anything like that. In Mark chapter 1, it begins here in the water. This is the very beginning of the story. And actually, it doesn't even really begin with Jesus. Mark begins by talking about John the Baptist. He says, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So people were coming out in droves to be washed clean by John. And John was doing this specifically to get people ready for, well, for the epiphany, right? For the revealing of Jesus, the aha moment, the long-awaited Messiah. Who is this going to be? And as John is baptizing these people, he's telling them that there's something even greater coming than this baptism. In fact, he says in verse 8, he says, I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So from that statement, we get the sense that there is a big difference between John's baptism as he performed it out there in the wilderness in those days. There's a difference between that baptism and the kind of baptism that even you and I receive, the Christian baptism. And the difference, according to John, is the Holy Spirit. So Christian baptism, which we regularly administer over here at the Font, is where the Holy Spirit takes a person and brings them to faith in Jesus Christ, but not only that, transforms them, transforms their soul from the inside out, makes us holy. We call that sanctification, right? Jesus himself says in John chapter 3 that this is being born of water and the Spirit. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, this is the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit is actually doing something to us in Christian baptism. This is why Lutherans call baptism a sacrament, because it's something that God is doing for us. It's 100% His gift to us. It doesn't rely upon us, upon our works, upon our decision, upon anything that we can do. It's simply what God, the Holy Spirit, is coming and doing to us and within us. But John's baptism here in Mark chapter 1 is different. Because John's baptism, it says, is specifically for repentance, right? That is a human work, repentance. And yes, that repentance does lead to the forgiveness of sins, like it says here, but it doesn't sanctify them and make them holy with the Holy Spirit the way that Christian baptism does. John's baptism simply got them ready for Jesus, got them ready to receive the faith by the Holy Spirit. And it does that by using water to reveal something that is often hidden. It's kind of like a rain work. John's baptism actually revealed the people's sin. If you want to be repentant of your sin, you have to be made aware of your sin. And if you want to be made aware of your sin, well, God needs to use His preaching of His law, which He does, to make it painfully obvious to us when we do fall astray. John the Baptist definitely was out there in the wilderness preaching the law. And I know we don't get a lot of that right here when you look at this in Mark chapter 1. But if you take a look at, say, where John the Baptist's ministry is described in Matthew's gospel, I mean, he is out there calling people out. He is calling people a brood of vipers. He's talking about burning the chaff with unquenchable fire. I mean, John was not shy about preaching the law to the people. And God uses the same law to preach to us, even today, to make us aware of our sin. And sometimes God uses those rainy days in our lives, too, to reveal things about us. Sometimes God uses those gloomy, negative kind of circumstances of life and those bad things that happen, those awful pieces of news that we receive. And the rainy days reveal the rain works in our lives, but it's not always these positive messages like what's on the sidewalks on the streets of Seattle. Sometimes what the rain reveals in us is kind of ugly. Sometimes those rainy days expose our idols that we're clinging to and our misplaced priorities. And sometimes the rainy days reveal those bad decisions, those bad choices that we make that we're always trying to justify to ourselves and to the rest of the world. But when those sinful things that we don't want exposed, when they do get exposed, that actually is a good thing. Because just like the people that John was preaching to, what this does for us is it gets us ready for Jesus. It gets us ready to hear the sweet good news of the gospel. When people watched our Lord Jesus Christ go down into the waters of the River Jordan and then watched Him come back up, that's when that water revealed God's rain work. So all of a sudden, it says, immediately He saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are My beloved Son, with You I am well pleased." There's no more question as to who this Jesus really was. He was and is our Savior, and He is the one who pleased the Father with a perfect life, who satisfied His wrath with a perfect death upon the cross. He's the one who was raised from the dead, destroyed death itself, made it possible for you and I to live forever. We cling to Him in faith and in trust because the same Holy Spirit who descended upon Jesus like a dove also descended upon us on the day that we were baptized. He placed an invisible rain work upon us that can never be removed. a rain work that says, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. These are my beloved children. I will never leave them. I will never forsake them." It's only because we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and actually transformed by the Holy Spirit from the inside out. That's the only reason the Heavenly Father can look upon us and say the same thing that His voice said when it boomed out of the clouds. That with you, He is well pleased. And there's nothing that can remove that rain work of love from your soul. It's like Paul says in Romans 8, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The rainy days reveal the rain works. They reveal that we Christians belong to our Heavenly Father by the power of holy baptism. They reveal the joy that we can have even when things don't always go our way. They reveal the love of Jesus Christ, who is God in man made manifest. And most importantly, they reveal our faith in Him, our souls sealed in baptism, our names written in the book of life, and our spirits singing in the rain for all eternity. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a few updates to our prayer list today. You'll notice that listed under care facilities, we have Lorna Grody. She was moved recently. She was hospitalized, but then moved to the Hamilton Memorial Rehabilitation Center in McLeansboro. And she is there getting some physical therapy, getting stronger. Hopefully, we'll be able to go back home. Also, we have under hospitalized, Karen Schnicker, who is hospitalized with COVID-19, so please keep her in your prayers. Also, the family of Alice Hollingsworth, that is the mother of Joni Krieger. She passed away last week. If you remember, Joni's dad passed away just a couple weeks ago, so please keep their family in your prayers. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have revealed your Son to us in the wondrous epiphany in the Jordan. So also you have revealed your name and blessing to us in holy baptism, declaring us your beloved heirs. Grant that we may daily die to sin and rise to newness of life, living with joy as your baptized children. Lord, in your mercy, preserve your holy church here and scattered throughout the world. Give steadfast faith to all Christians by the preaching of your word and through the holy sacraments, and send laborers into your harvest. Enliven the love of your saints to bear one another's burdens and to show mercy toward those outside of the church. And bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry around the world, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. John's Lutheran in New Minden, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our families, O Lord. Turn husbands and wives toward one another in love. Equip fathers and mothers for their holy duty as teachers of the faith. and preserve all children in the saving faith and in the certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Bless those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Wade, Wayne, Lillian, Lily, Sloan, Kurt, Thomas, Amanda, Hannah, and Dennis. May they continue to look to you for all good things in this next year and beyond. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation, its leaders, and those who serve for the good of our people and for their protection. Grant peace in our time, O Lord, for you alone fight for us. Guard and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy, give comfort and relief to those who are sick, depressed, tired, confused, or in any need, especially those who have requested our prayers, including those who are in care facilities, Lorna, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, Bob, Laverne, and Betty. We lift before you those who are hospitalized with COVID-19, including Linda and Karen, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Norma, Cheryl, Amy, Sam, Ronnie, Beulah, Alma, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, Jean, Don, all those who are fighting cancer, and all others who have been affected by the coronavirus. We also ask you to watch over all expectant mothers and their children, that they may have a safe delivery when the time comes. Be with those who are near death, that they may hear your son's words of grace in their last hour and be confident in their baptism. And comfort those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Alice Hollingsworth. Surround them with your loving arms and bring them the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you manifested yourself with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of grace at the baptism of your dear Son, and with your voice directed us to him who has borne our sins, that we might receive grace and the remission of sins. Keep us, we pray, in the true faith. Since we have been baptized in accordance with your command and the example of your dear Son, we pray you to strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit and lead us to everlasting life and salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you brought a tithe or offering with you this morning, we encourage you to place that in the basket, which is there on the table in the narthex on your way out of the worship this morning. At this time, we will sing our offertory hymn, which is Hail, O Source of Every Blessing. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, we will invite the Sunday school children and teachers to dismiss at this time and head on over to the school. Good morning. Just a few announcements for you today. First of all, there are a few poinsettias that are still here over in the overflow room on the south side, or on the north side, sorry. If you don't pick yours up today, I believe the Altar Guild has plans to dispose of them. So today is the day. If you haven't had an opportunity, go ahead and grab that on your way out. Tomorrow is meeting night, so Board of Ed will have their meeting at 6:30, and then elders will meet at 7:30. And then looking ahead to the annual voters meeting, which is coming up on the 31st, the last Sunday of this month, those of you who have any reports that need to be included in the annual report, if you could get those into the office this week, Jane would love to have those by Friday. Because her plan is to send those out to the rest of the congregation next week, and things are kind of iffy with the mail this year, so we hope that everybody will get their information on time and before the meeting, but in order for that to take place, we need to get those reports in this week at the latest. So please help us out by taking care of that. Tuesday night, we're going to resume our midweek evening Bible study, and this session this week is actually going to be a recap and a conclusion of the death, heaven, resurrection, and new creation Bible study that we did back in November. We weren't able to have the last session back then, so we're going to go ahead and pick that up where we left off this week. Looking forward to that. And then starting next Tuesday on the 19th, we are going to have a study of St. John's epistles. So 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're going to have 4 weeks to study three epistles. But 2nd and 3rd John are pretty short, so we'll be able to make it, I'm pretty sure. But please join us for those Bible studies. Those are at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. If you can't join us in person, then we are live streaming those Bible studies. You can watch them at home, or you can just log in on Facebook later, and you can watch at your convenience. So lots of different ways to participate in our Bible studies these days. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that the elders are going to be taking a look at our current communion policies tomorrow night at our meeting, and so we'll let you know if there's any changes to what we are currently doing. But in the meantime, if you would like to receive communion privately, I just wanted to remind you that that is available to you. Simply contact me or contact the office, and we'll find a time that works for everybody. Those are all the announcements I had. Anything else that I missed? Okay, if not, then I pray that you have a wonderful, blessed week in the Lord. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.